has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
The awakening is reason. It's your number one station, focused on rebuilding our nation. WMLR, More Life Radio. Real radio on a blog talk platform.
How hot is hot?
Give me more.
Catch all the hell, but they don't have so much.
shake up y'all mind. It's everybody's wake up call time. I can't sleep too long. Why they do the people wrong? Let's clean the world up before they sweep you gone. This is real talk, you can peek through songs. So when you feel weak, these words will keep you strong and help make a change for the better. It's hard for one to do it, but we can make some changes together. Stand up here and give thanks to the man upstairs. Put the egos and the pride to the side regardless, and just be role models, parents, artists. We can make a change or we can make it the hardest. If you gonna make a baby, you should make them the smartest. Let them know good and bad, right from wrong, how to roll with the punches when life moves on. And the stress won't take toll if you don't sweat it. World won't get no better if we don't let it. Let the negative energy ride, keep hope alive. It's about time that we open our eyes. Wake up,
everybody. Sleeping in bed, no more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Listen to me like you listen to Fahrenheit 9/11. Ain't no time for the second guessing. The words I speak,
wake up.
The ones who sleep, the leadership's fix your mouth to teach. MCs teach the kids what's peace. They don't have to worry about the police. We make them rich so they don't have to see. Every artist here on this track, we'll make a change here for young cats. This is for everybody, white or black. You better go and vote and get up off your back.
Lift your head, get your voice up. You see the power of the people, it's a choice to ignite love. Not a choice, it's a gift that our people have to fight for. And the price wasn't personal for anyone to ignore. Voice to be heard.
Hotep, children of the sun, and welcome. WMLR, More Life Radio, your number one station focused on rebuilding our nation, proudly presents The Current, a show dealing with the latest current events and headline newsmakers, exclusively on WMLR, More Life Radio, real radio on a blog talk platform. And now, with the latest current events and headline newsmakers, here are your hosts, Erica, exclusively on WMLR, More Life Radio.
There are new accusations today of pay-to-play scandals rocking the Clinton campaign, an investigation that reveals new details of a possible influence peddling in the aftermath of the 2010 earthquake in Haiti, which we all remember very well. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new hour of America's Newsroom. I'm Martha McCallum.
And I'm Bill Hemmer. Good morning. The Haiti earthquake, a devastating tragedy, but also a very lucrative opportunity for companies from all over the world to grab the billions that were pledged for rebuilding. Now, according to our next report, Bill and Hillary Clinton were the gatekeepers in Haiti at the time.
A Fox News special on all of this airs tonight, anchored by Brett Baer, and he joins us now. Good morning, Brett.
Martha and Bill, good morning. As we told you, we've been working on this for quite some time, and this is based on this new book, Clinton Cash, by Peter Schweitzer. We had the exclusive interview with him. We saw yesterday the piece that we aired here about Kazakhstan and the uranium deal, and you've been talking about that. There are many more pieces of this puzzle that it takes a while to unwind. It spans the globe. This latest piece, as you pointed out, has to do with Haiti.
January 12, 2010, Haiti suffers a devastating 7.0 earthquake. The epicenter is about 15 miles west of its most populous city, Port-au-Prince. More than 200,000 die, and over 100,000 buildings and homes are destroyed. Within 4 days, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton arrives to survey the damage.
I want to assure the people of Haiti that the United States is a friend, a partner, and a supporter.
2 days later, former President Clinton was on the ground.
I hope that it will be rebuilt in a much stronger and more sustainable way, and I think the Haitians want that.
Bill Clinton had previously been named UN Special Envoy for Haiti. He and Hillary had close ties with the country, even honeymooning there. Hillary's State Department, working with USAID, the United States Agency for International Development, would oversee America's relief effort. The government of Haiti set up the IHRC, Interim Haiti Recovery Commission, to coordinate. Two men were named co-chairs of the IHRC Executive Committee, Haitian Prime Minister Jean-Max Bellerive and Bill Clinton himself. The idea was to not just fix things, but improve them. In an interview with Esquire, President Clinton had big plans, saying, quote, "Wouldn't it be great if they became the first wireless nation in the world? They could. I'm telling you, they really could." But it wasn't at all clear that the people of Haiti would be the big winners in the disaster relief gold rush.
Anytime there's a natural disaster anywhere, there is a lot of money potentially to be made in reconstruction contracts and relief contracts, etc.
Peter Schweitzer is the author of the new book, Clinton Cash, where he investigates the snarl of money, politics, and personal interest that has come to characterize the Clintons' interactions around the world. Clinton Cash is published by HarperCollins, a sister company to Fox News.
Shortly after the earthquake took place, U.S. Ambassador in Haiti sent a cable to the State Department, the title of which was "The Gold Rush is On." And the memo was about the fact that businessmen and companies were showing up in Haiti trying to seek lucrative contracts.
It was the job of the IHRC to oversee this process and to ensure no one took advantage of the situation. But what if it was part of the problem?
A number of members of the IHRC actually wrote a letter expressing their concerns that they were not involved in the process, that all the decisions were being made by Clinton and Bellerive. In addition, they claimed and argued that the national priorities of Haiti were basically being totally disregarded by the decisions that were being made.
As Haiti dug itself out of the rubble, many projects were initiated, often with U.S. money and a connection to the Clintons. For instance, there was the Haitian Mobile Money Initiative, where a much-needed system was created to help transfer money via cell phones. There was also a plan to raise money by exploiting Haiti's rich mineral wealth.
The Haitian government announces that they're going to offer two so-called gold exploitation permits, the first issued in 50 years in Haiti, that would allow for the extraction and gold mining in the country.
Perhaps the most celebrated project of all was Caracol Industrial Park.
What is happening here in Caracol is already having ripple effects that will create jobs and opportunities far beyond this industrial park.
The grand opening of Caracol was a big deal. You had Bill Clinton there. You had Hillary Clinton there. You had Donna Karan, the fashion designer. You had Ben Stiller. You had Sean Penn. Lots of people showed up to say how wonderful this facility was going to be for everybody.
But as all these projects moved forward, questions were raised. The central question, the question which Schweitzer investigated, was about how so many of these deals seemed to come back at some point to the Clintons.
What quickly became apparent to many people was that if you wanted a contract, if you wanted to do business in Haiti, you had to have relationships with the Clinton. That was absolutely key.
The company that cleaned up on the cell phone transfers was Digicel.
In the 6 months running up to September 2012, they took in more than $50 million in revenue in Haiti.
Digicel is run by Irish billionaire Dennis O'Brien, who set up lucrative speeches for Bill Clinton, as well as donating millions of his own money to the Clinton Foundation. And one company that got a rare gold permit was VCS Mining, which didn't actually have much mining experience, but would soon have Hillary Clinton's brother, Tony Rodham, on its board. As for the Caracol Industrial Park, the anchor tenant is a Korean manufacturer, which supplies to major U.S. retailers, who also happen to be big Clinton supporters. And while the State Department promised 65,000 jobs, to date, only 5,000 have been delivered.
In the second part of this piece about Haiti, we sent John Roberts, our own John Roberts, down to Haiti, one end of Haiti to the other, to look at these projects today, where they stand. No one is saying that the Clinton Foundation doesn't do good things around the world, but as you see, the web is pretty tangled with the businesses and the individuals who both set up big lucrative speeches for President Clinton and also donated millions to the Clinton Foundation. One other thing, Martha and Bill, really quickly, there's a lot of talk about smoking gun. The campaign came out and said there's no shred of evidence, and all this talk about the bar being high. Just talking to some lawyers about where the bar is in bribery cases, for example, it goes back to two cases, United States versus Annaby, a federal Second Circuit court case, and United States versus Bruno. And this is what they came to, and this is settled law. Quote, in cases involving government officials, a jury can infer guilt from evidence of benefits received and subsequent favorable treatment. Now, that is the bar. You have to get there. There has to be an investigation. But it's important to point out that this is all serious stuff.
Yeah. As Judge Napolitano said on your show, Menendez, Senator Menendez, has been indicted on what many would see as far less than the web that we're seeing here. But we'll see. Brett, thank you. We're looking forward to tonight. Thanks for being here.
Okay. Sure.
So here with reaction, Tennessee Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn joining me now. Congresswoman, welcome.
Thanks.
Good morning to you. You were just able to listen to that that story. What do you think about all this?
I think that what it does is further erode the trust factor. What we're seeing is Hillary Clinton is upside down in that component. And Martha, the American people have really good muscle memory, if you will, about why they did not like the Clintons. And of course, the campaign is saying, well, there is no smoking gun. But I got to tell you, people remember Slick Willie got his nickname for a reason, and they're seeing it play out. And, you know, it just shows you crony capitalism is the way that they have operated, and whether it is through their friends and their relatives or it is the Clinton Foundation, you're seeing it alive and well.
You know, I mean, when you listen to that piece, it argues that the Clintons were the gatekeepers, that they swept in. And I think, you know, as we need to point out, that clearly the foundation has done some good work. And I think the people of Haiti, when they saw Bill Clinton get off the plane, probably thought, good, you know, somebody's on their way to help us. But the problematic thing is that, you know, as was mentioned in this piece, if you wanted to do business there, you had to be on the right side of Bill Clinton in order to get your contract through. And sometimes that translated by saying, hey, I've got a great speaking engagement for you to do, former President Clinton, and things like that. I want to also pull up this memo that was from the ambassador in Haiti to the State Department that said the gold rush is on. How do you interpret that?
Well, it shows that the money was coming in and people were competing for the contracts to get their hands on that money. And bear in mind, that is taxpayer dollars that the federal government uses through USAID, USAID, to help these countries. And Martha, what you see, all of these contractors that were going in and getting these lucrative contracts for mining, for digital cell, all of this for the mobile money transfer, they all were friends of Bill and Hillary. And here you have Hillary at the State Department who is signing off on this, and you have Bill Clinton as the co-chair of this advisory council that is signing off on these deals and inviting these companies in. Yeah. And I think that the American people are going to say, this is just a little bit too close for comfort. And when it comes to the speaking engagements, which were personal income for Bill Clinton, do the Clintons really think that the American people don't think that they have coffee in the morning and say, well, honey, where are you going today? Oh, I'm traveling across the globe to give a speech. Oh, who are you giving the speech to? I mean, you've got to ask the question, what kind of relationship is there? And do they have a conversation or do they not have a conversation? So I think that what we're seeing is it is the actions of the Clinton Foundation, of the Clinton family, that are being called into question and how that relates to the government service.
Thank you very much. Good to have you here this morning.
Good to be with you.
So just as a reminder, Brett hosts a one-hour show later tonight. It's a special. It's called The Tangled Clinton Web. It premieres for the first time at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, and then it repeats a few times over the weekend. But at 10 o'clock in primetime tonight is the first time to watch this, and there is more coming your way here on the Fox News channel. And clearly, the hits keep coming. But these latest controversies may affect more than just a presidential campaign. Is it possible Secretary Clinton could face charges? We'll have a look at that.
All right, well, let's get right to that big breaking news out of Milwaukee this morning. Our Scripps station TMJ4 reports at least three local businesses have been set on fire as protests break out in the streets overnight. This all sparked after an officer shoots and kills a 23-year-old suspect who ran away from them on Saturday around 3:30. Now, police say that man had a stolen gun, and he was shot twice by police in a moment's decision.
Our officers are out here taking risks on behalf of the community and making split-second decisions. In this case, our officers attempted to stop two young men. One was armed with a handgun. That officer had to make a split-second decision when the person confronted him with the handgun. This is a risk that they take every day on behalf of our community.
Well, this morning there is an increased presence in the neighborhood where that shooting occurred. Looting and even more fires have been reported overnight. As this video shows here, at least three people have been arrested. The officer involved has been placed on desk duty, and the Department of Criminal Investigations, we're told, is now one of the agencies handling this case. We do know that the officer was wearing a body camera that was working at the time of the shooting. No word on when that video will be released.
Hotep, children of the sun, and thank you once again for tuning in to your number one station focused on rebuilding our nation, WMLR, More Life Radio. Tonight's broadcast is being brought to you by Wanda King's Gift Baskets and More. Gifts for any occasion. For ordering information, call 614-254-0634 or 614-929-8486. That's Wanda King's Gift Baskets and More. The Renaissance Hair Company. Regal elegance for the distinguished queen. For product info and pricing, contact the Burroughs Brothers. Online, rhaircode.com or call 267-888-7472. Also reach them via email, rhaircode@gmail.com. You can also contact them on Instagram at the_Renaissance_HairCo, the Renaissance Hair Company, regal elegance for the distinguished queen. Tease Me Cafe, custom quality teas. Contact Brenda Gray at 615-601-8030. You can also reach them online at their website, teasemecafe.com. That's TEESMECAFE.com. Also reach them via email, tmc@teasemecafe.com. There's no minimum quantity, but guaranteed quality. Samuel Rain Benjamin, also known as Complicated Passions, author and king of the spoken word of love. Samuel Rain Benjamin, it's complicated, but not really. The WMLR sponsorship packages. Affordable advertisement done professionally for your small business needs. Contact Tahuti the Fly Virgo for package information and pricing at 614-354-2201. That's the WMLR sponsorship packages. And last but not least, Graphics by Julian. For your needs in flyers, book covers, magazine covers, business card designs, contact Tahuti the Fly Virgo at 614
954-2201. Graphics by Julian. Thank you once again for tuning in to Real Radio on a blog talk platform, WMLR, More Life Radio. Now, back to our show, to our show, to our show, to our show, to our show.
Hey guys, it's Erin Elizabeth here with HealthNutNews.com. Subscribe above or below for more videos like this. And also you can like our Facebook page. I've got 387,000 plus likes right now in less than, or just over 2 years. Unfortunately, it's not a happy subject matter today. We have another holistic doctor dead, and a man stormed into his office and killed him, this time with a gun. And then just yesterday, we'll click on this, this is Dr. Huang, is how I believe you pronounce the name. And then yesterday, the day before he was killed, just a few days ago, we had another doctor that was a man came in, and a gunman, and gunned him down. And his name was Dr. Sowers. So it's just really sad. And now since I did my article the day it happened on Dr. Sowers, ABC has done a report that the man was allegedly a patient. They did say in both cases that these holistic doctors that were, you know, killed within a day of each other in different parts of here in North America, that they knew their assailants, but they didn't go into a lot of detail. And they still haven't with a second story.
So I'll just play you a little bit of the video here of the first one with Dr. Sowers of what happened. So
tonight, Cairo 7 tracked down the patient who discovered a murder-suicide at a doctor's office.
And there was two bodies, unsure male or female, but blood, and they were right there at the door.
The killing of a beloved chiropractor has a small town asking why.
So a lot of people are still asking why in that case and sending me questions, just really upset. Some of his patients who are writing even publicly on my page are just really saddened to hear this. And then just in case you needed to see it here, we also have the Calgary doctor. This was on Calgary Sun. So it's a pretty popular site in Calgary, and is just talking about this unfortunate death. And we're just always reporting on all the deaths. I believe we are in the mid to high 40s here, and tomorrow will be the one-year anniversary of the death of Dr. Bradstreet. So I've started right when he died and then kept reporting, and unfortunately we'd have sometimes more than one doctor dying a day, and I could barely keep up many of the doctors who I knew. I didn't know either of these doctors with Dr. Huang, and let me also say here that he is not just like a Chinese acupuncturist, or some people were saying and reports. He is a PhD, MD, R.AC, RMT, DTCM, and also Dr. Huang was a sports medicine specialist at the Beijing Olympics, at the Olympic Games, and is a professor in sports medicine and rehabilitation and performs acupuncture and Chinese Tuina massage. I hope I pronounced that right on the last one. So he was definitely, what I'm reading in national press or international, I guess, would be considered a prominent doctor, and it's just really sad that we've lost both him and Dr. Sowers in just 2 days. So Dr. Sowers was the 15th, and Dr. Huang was the 16th. I think this came out just after midnight, dated the 17th. Until next time, this is Erin Elizabeth with HealthNutNews.com. Again, subscribe above or below for more videos. See you next time, hopefully with better news. Thanks.
WMLR, your number one station, focused on rebuilding our nation.
In terms of just you know, who he is and how he thinks and all these other things. So without further ado, I want to say hello to my brother, Judge Olu Stevens. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, boys. How are you?
I'm doing really well, really well. Well, first and foremost, I know that when we talked before, and I want everybody to know this, we're not legally allowed to go into the particulars of the case, and we're not really here to do that. We're not here to go bashing at anybody or anything like that. This is all about positivity and knowledge and understanding. But I have to say, congratulations. They reinstated you back to the bench. Things seem to be back to normal. Is that the case?
Well, we're getting there. Today was the first day back, and it was a wonderful experience. It was great to be back on the bench, and I'm happy to have this opportunity to thank you for what you did and all the work that you did. And I will say that I believe there was a real possibility that you'd be talking to me and I'd be unemployed right now if it wasn't for Boyce Watkins. Wow. And the work that you did and others did on my part. And I'm very appreciative.
Well, you know, I'm honored and humbled that you said that. You know, when people ask me why I was involved, and that's funny, when it all kind of started, I didn't know you personally, and people said, well, do you know this guy? Has he called you? Have you talked to him? And this is when, before we'd even talked, and I said, actually, he doesn't have to talk to me. He doesn't have to thank me. He doesn't even have to like me. I said, because number one, we should stand up for each other when we're doing the right thing. That's the first thing. Too many of us suffer when others don't come to their aid. It really goes back to the plantation. That's why they could torture one of us and the rest of us will sit back and watch it happen. That day is gone. And then, you know, number two, I always made it clear, and I think you'll agree with me on this, that this was bigger than just a situation about one judge or one situation. It's really all about the bigger issue, about just, you know, just seeking out justice in our justice system. And and that was, you know, to me it was very simple. It was very easy to dodge all the crazy politics because I said it's all about right and wrong. We know that diverse juries are better than non-diverse juries. Every study shows this. The judge was standing up for this. He had the authority to make this ruling. It was real simple for me. So as we go into that, I want to ask you, just speaking on the issue of jury diversity, how important is that in terms of, you know, making sure our juries aren't just sort of, you know, sort of non-reflective of the community at large?
Well, it's central. It's central to everything that we do. I think from the vantage point of the defendant, it's very important to have a diverse jury, particularly African-American defendants. And in Louisville, African-Americans represent 21% of the population, but represent 55% of the jail population. So the numbers are really disproportionate when it comes to that. And we need to make sure that our juries are diverse from the perspective of the jurors themselves. Everybody has a right to serve, and no one should be excluded on the basis of their race or their gender. We need to make sure that we've got number one, folks in the pool, and then number two, making sure that they actually make it onto panels and therefore have a legitimate shot of making it onto the jury. And what this issue is, central to this issue is the issue of the composition, the racial composition of our jury panels. And I think it's very important that we make sure that our panels are diverse so that we can reach the point in time where folks can be questioned and make it onto juries. We talk about Batson, and I saw the talk yesterday about that, but before we reach Batson, before we reach the issue of jurors being discriminated against, we need to make sure that there are jurors in the pool, black jurors, and in this case, black jurors in the pool to begin with, because if they're not, then the issue of Batson is really a moot issue.
On the opening night of the track and field at Rio Olympics, USA's Michelle Carter caused an upset as she won gold in the women's shot put. With a throw of 20.63 meters, Carter beat the heavy favorite, New Zealand's Valerie Adams. Adams had won the event in 2008 and 2012. She had not lost since 2010. An American woman has not won a medal in shot put since 1960, when Irving Brown won bronze in Rome. The event has been in the Olympics for more than 120 years. Women couldn't participate until 1948. Carter has spoken in the past about how she hopes to change perceptions of women in the event. She told the New Yorker, "I think it's bringing more attention to the sport, and girls are realizing, hey, I can do this, and it's okay to do this as a girl." We'll be right back.
Jamaican Elaine Thompson beats out teammate and double defending champion Sholi Ann Fraser-Pryce to score gold in 100 meters. All eyes were on double defending champion Sholi Ann Fraser-Pryce. But it was her fellow Jamaican Elaine Thompson who ran away with gold in the 100 meters. Thompson won the gold with a time of 10.71 seconds in the final on Saturday. The 24-year-old Thompson finished ahead of American Tori Bowie in 10.83, with Fraser-Pryce taking bronze in 10.86. She broke out in sheer joy at the finish line when she saw that she had won first place. Thompson turned what was supposed to be one of the most competitive races on the Olympic program into a runaway. Running even at the halfway mark with Fraser-Pryce and Tori Bowie of the United States, Thompson pulled away over the last half and defeated Bowie with a bookshelf-sized slice of daylight in between. Still, the finalists finished very tightly grouped, with each running under 11 seconds apart from Jamaica's Christina Williams. European champion Daphne Schippers had a bad start and finished fifth with 10.90. Fraser-Pryce, who was seeking to become the first woman in track to win three Olympic gold medals in a row, ran her fastest time of the season. The 29-year-old won gold in the 100 meters in the 2008 and 2012 Summer Games. At the Jamaican National Trials, Fraser-Pryce was battling a foot injury and finished behind Thompson, running a 10.93. Thompson was a late bloomer when it came to running, having not made her high school track team until she finished second in the 200 meters at last year's World Championships. She had barely made a splash on the international scene and was often overshadowed by Fraser-Pryce. After finishing the race on Saturday, Thompson and Fraser-Pryce celebrated together on the sidelines, waving the Jamaican flag. Fraser-Pryce told reporters that if she was going to lose, she was glad to do so to a fellow Jamaican. "What I'm most happy about is that the 100m title is staying in Jamaica. I'm on the podium with my training partner."
up in Danger Time. What's going on?
Everybody thinks we're wrong, yeah.
Oh, but who are they to judge us? Together we can all be strong.
Wise words forever remain, dealing with this modern day problems, cause of ignorance surrounding me and my constituents. Too many infected, too many lives diminishing. Nobody save Protestants, Jews, blacks and whites, Latinos and Asian. Pray together, let's fight, we better unite. As genocide, chemical war, and the rich and the poor, know that God delivers a cure.
It's a shame, our reality is devastating. People praying for a cure and dying while they're waiting. Ask the Lord for the comfort and the strength to face it. All the kids with dreams won't get the chance to chase it. Makes me sad, think about the lives they would've had. Think about the orphan babies, got no moms and dads. How can we sit back and not try to make it right? We gotta come together, we gotta fight for life.
Somebody tell me what's going on.
What's going on?
We got human beings using humans for a bomb,
yeah.
But everybody wanna live,
yeah.
Don't nobody really wanna die,
nah.
You feeling me, right?
Right?
I can't be watching people die,
nah.
I'm watching people cry,
nah.
Let me break it down for a minute,
break it down.
There's enough room here for you and for me. There's plenty of room for some humanity,
yeah.
Number one station focused on rebuilding our nation. WMLR, More Life Radio, real radio on a blog talk platform.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?